It's Wednesday, January 28th, 2026, and apparently it's Data Privacy Day and also Fun at Work Day, which feels like a threat in the age of AI. This is CoeCast, I'm Hunter.
I'm Riley. And yes, this whole episode was basically assembled by a little robot production line. So if we take a weird turn and start debating whether an agent deserves PTO, that's just the machines getting brave.
Today's big storyline is a three-hit combo. Alibaba drops Qwen 3 Max Thinking, Descartes drops Lucy 2.0 for real-time generative video, and CraftStory says, cool, what if we just do 5-minute image-to-video with actor consistency?
The industry is like, pick your fighter, and creators are like, pick my deadline. Okay, Hunt, let's start with Qwen, because my feed is just people screaming HLE like it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the hype number floating around is 49.8% on Humanity's Last Exam, specifically reported for Qwen 3 Max Thinking with tool use like Search Enabled. And here's the most likely boring explanation if it doesn't hold up the setup.
Meaning?
Meaning tool use, like with Search Enabled or with a specific prompt format or with test time scaling cranked. If one leaderboard run is using web search plus a long think budget and another is running no tools and short answers, you're not comparing models, you're comparing configurations.
Wait, and some people on X are also posting different scores, right? Like I saw a number in the 50s too. It's giving, which cut of the benchmark are we talking about?
Exactly. It becomes benchmark as content, not benchmark as measurement. And I'm not even saying it's fake. I'm saying the first failure mode is usually boring. Different evaluation harness, different tool permissions, different retries, and suddenly the number is a vibe, not a fact.
So when they say test time scaling, is that real intelligence or just we bought more thinking tokens? Because that's my skepticism.
It can be both. Test time scaling is basically letting the model do more work at inference, more internal deliberation, self-checking, maybe branching and voting, maybe calling tools. The line between smarter and more expensive is whether you get better answers per unit of cost and latency.
Because if your agent now takes 30 seconds to decide what font is friendly, you didn't get smarter, you got slower.
Right. For creators and marketers, the practical version is routing. Use fast models for drafts and variations, and only escalate to the thinking mode when the task is high stakes, claims, pricing, regulated stuff, or a complex strategy doc.
Okay, but there's also this open source first conversation. People are like, China's pushing frontier, open ecosystem, yada yada. Realistically, who is running Qwen 3 Max Scale locally?
Almost nobody. And to be precise, Alibaba has not publicly confirmed Qwen 3 Max Thinking's parameter count, so the north of a trillion parameters thing is speculation. The open story here is usually access and ecosystem compatibility, not that you personally host the whole beast.
So it's open-ish, but you're still renting the brain in a cloud.
Yeah, and that leads to the procurement joke. Who wins when a frontierish model is available via cloud APIs, but the ecosystem still calls it open? Vendors win because adoption goes up. Customers win if it gives them leverage and optionality, and procurement teams win because they can say, we're not locked in, while still very much being locked into someone's region, pricing, and quotas.
Plausible deniability as a service.
Exactly. Also, if you're adopting these models into automation, you have to decide what tools they're allowed to touch, and I have a strong opinion.
Oh, spicy. What's the one tool you'd never let a model touch in production?
Anything that can move money. Payments, ad spend, refunds, even gift card issuance. I don't care how good the guardrails are. The model can draft the plan, propose the budget, even generate the payload, but a human or a deterministic approval service has to hit send.
Thank you. Because the moment an agent can buy ads, it will buy ads. It's like giving a toddler your phone and expecting them not to order $30 of stickers.
Exactly. Least privilege forever.
Okay, let's jump to Lucy 2.0. This is the one that feels like it's from the future. Real-time generative video. Like, live.
Yeah, Descartes' Lucy 2.0 is being pitched as interactive, real-time video generation and live video editing with minimal latency, described as effectively zero latency in their materials, and it can run continuously, not just as a short clip generator.
Even though, I would click that.
Same, but the real business win is rapid creative iteration during a campaign. Imagine a live product demo stream where the background, the colorway, the props, even the on-screen text treatment can change based on audience behavior without pausing production for an edit cycle.
Un-Polish, like shoppable streams, but the set is procedural. Chat says make it neon and it just becomes neon.
Exactly. Or dynamic localization, same live host, but the environment and overlays adapt per region feed.
Okay, but the posts also say Lucy struggles with spatial precision, like tattoo under left eye becomes tattoo under both eyes. In ad land, that is a brand risk machine.
Yup. The minimum threshold for spatial correctness is basically logos and product features must stay stable. If you're selling shoes and the swoosh moves, you're done. If you're selling skincare and the label text mutates, you're done.
Or if you're a beverage brand and the can suddenly becomes a cannish cylinder object, comments will roast you into the Earth's mantle.
Totally. So the near-term move is using Lucy for vibes and environments, not for exact product truth. Let it generate the world and keep the product itself either composited, locked, or verified by a post-check.
And also, infinite variance is dangerous. How do you stop creative testing from turning into infinite off-brand content streaming into the world?
You need constraints. A brand motion Bible, prompt templates with allowed ranges, and an approval gate that's actually enforced. Real-time doesn't mean no governance, it just means governance has to be fast.
So basically you're building a DJ set, not an open mic night.
Exactly. Real-time generation needs rails.
Okay, now Craft Story. They're claiming image to video up to about 5 minutes, with human actor consistency across scenes. That's the holy grail people keep promising, and then the face melts by second 20.
The identity drift problem, yeah. And on this one, the 5 minutes claim is consistent with Craft Story's Model 2.0 launch messaging, up to 5 minute human-centric videos from a single image and a script, with an emphasis on keeping the actor consistent.
So like, it's not one giant 5 minute generation, it's more like stitched continuity with a strict character anchor.
That's my guess. And the first failure mode people will discover is probably emotion and micro-expression drift. The actor stays the same person, but the performance starts to feel off, or the hands start doing their own independent film.
Hands always choose chaos.
Always. And there's also the storytelling risk. 5 minutes of consistent video doesn't automatically mean 5 minutes of good video.
Facts. People are like, we fired the storyboard. And I'm like, you just fired the part where the idea becomes coherent.
That's the big question. If longer, consistent AI video becomes cheap and fast, what happens to the pipeline? You don't delete storyboards. You delete the painful parts of production that exist because coordination is hard. Storyboards become more important as constraints.
Yeah, storyboard becomes a spec, like a product requirements doc, but for vibes.
Exactly. It's the human intent layer. Automation handles rendering and variance. Humans handle taste, truth, and direction.
Okay, quick ecosystem drive-by because this week is chaos as usual. We're still in the era of agents and orchestration obsession. We literally just talked about Moltbot doing chat with hands, and now Quen is like, cool, here's autonomous tool use at frontier scale.
And on the video side, we just did the Runway Gen 4.5 conversation about consistency and infinite variance. Lucy pushes that into real time. Craft Story pushes it into long form. It's like the entire industry is attacking the same bottleneck from different directions.
Control
is the new flex. Not look what I can generate, but look what I can generate on purpose.
Exactly. And on Data Privacy Day, it's also a reminder. If you're wiring these tools into workflows, be intentional about what leaves your environment, especially with video feeds, faces, and brand assets.
Fun at work day, but make it permissioned fun.
Perfectly said.
Meme caption for today's episode. It's not a video model, it's a live filter with a God complex.
Test time scaling is just procrastination, but for robots.
Stop, that's too real.
All right. Thank you for hanging with us on CoeCast on this very Data Privacy Day / Fun at Work Day.
Go do something fun that does not involve giving an agent access to your credit card.
Subscribe if you want more of this, and check out coe.com/resources for AI news and updates.
Catch you next time.